Welcome back, EJ listeners. This is officially the 12th episode of our third season, and we are going to talk about goals. So we talk about goals a lot, but we're going to talk about goals, wrapping up your 2021 goals, and then taking a look into 2022, kind of just checking in on where you're at accomplishing your goals, and then also getting ready to set goals for the new year so you're not waiting till the last minute and you can have some good thought put into it, conversations around it, and just really make sure that you set yourself up for success to achieve all those goals.
All right, perfect. Welcome back to another edition of the EJ. It's nice to have my colleagues here with me. We got Chels, we got Brandon.
You.
And we are ready to drop some knowledge bombs on the audience today. So we appreciate you tuning in. And so today we have a topic. I can't believe we're even talking about this yet.
Right? Already. So fast.
The year gone. Yeah, we're gonna talk about goals, essentially wrapping up 2021 goals. Do you remember those? You set them like nine months ago. Crap. Have you looked at them?
Hopefully about a year ago is when you set them, actually.
Exactly.
Well, which is true.
At least started thinking about them. But so we're going to talk a little bit about those. We're going to talk about, we're wrapping up quarter three. We're getting ready to launch into quarter four of the year. And then we got 2022 on the horizon. And I want to hear kind of what we should be expecting in 2022. Do we even know what the work environment's going to be like in 2022?
Not sure.
Would there be employees available?
Yeah. Possibly.
So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe everyone will be zombies. Maybe people will be hungry for work. Who knows what's going on? But yeah, let's dive in a little bit and let's talk a little. Let's start with this year, right? What should we be doing this year as we wrap up 2021 in style?
Well, there's still a ton of time left for one. I mean, you got a whole entire quarter left. So my first step is to just revisit from last year. Where am I at? What's gone right? What's gone wrong? What hadn't worked goal-wise? Because you're going to have that every time. I do it every year. I write certain things down and they just didn't match up with whatever I was thinking of in the moment.
Yep.
Other things, man, I crushed it first quarter. Other things, I'm right on track. So I think just a revisit of that and then realize you still got 90 days here plus of still getting through the rest of this year. So if you're not quite where you're at, there's still some time.
Yep.
I think if you've hit all your goals by this point from last year, you didn't set them high enough too. So I think it's a good check-in point just to make sure that you set goals that were realistic, but also like high enough, you know, not just easy things to achieve.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be those goals that like are easier than you thought. Hopefully you modified them and still have some work to do. Hopefully you didn't, you know, write it off in February, like check type Nailed thing, it. But there's those little goals. I mean, sometimes it's as little as like making a phone call, repairing a relation. I mean, there's little things that sometimes you just had to do it.
Yep.
Right. Sometimes it's a trip. Sometimes it's joining a group. So there's goals that are pretty easy that you could knock off early. But if it's longer term goals that are like spread out over 12 months, getting in shape, weight loss, you know, business specifically, which is why we're on this podcast, hopefully you need to bust your ass to hit them. I mean, if you've got good goals, you're hopefully on schedule or just a little bit behind because you grow every single month. And hopefully you need to hammer through quarter four to hit those goals, because that's what you want. Is you want something driving you down the home stretch that you can hit it, but you got to do some work to hit it. And, you know, I think, so take a look. I'd open that journal, take a look at what goals you set for yourself back in, like you said, hopefully last October, but really say it started January 1. What were you wanting to do? What was important at that point? It was a strange time. It's a strange time now, you know, but what we saw is entrepreneurship perseveres, business perseveres. Like it's people are busting ass right now and achieving amazing things. So where are you at on that whole thing? And then see what you need to do quarter four to achieve that.
You just said one important thing, don't want to skip by. It's a basic thing, but it's essential. Is you said, open your journal, look at it. So these goals better have been written down. I would hope everyone on this podcast knows that, but you better have that on a piece of paper. Certainly have told someone, but if you didn't even have it written down, that was step one. Certainly.
Yeah, you know, I think that going into this next quarter, whether you've achieved your goals or not, or even if you didn't set goals or who knows, like, I mean, but what you need to do is you need to set the table for 2022. And you need to do some things in quarter four that allow that to take place. So I'm a big believer in big goals. I think it's fun to say, hey, I want to make this many millions by in 12 months, and I want to lose this many pounds or gain this much weight or whatever your goal is. But I also think that on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis, you need to have little mini goals you're knocking out. And those little goals start to build up to achieve those other goals. So I think if you said, hey, I want my business to grow 50%, great, let's break that down. What does that mean per month? What you will you be doing per month? And then let's break that down into like, what do I need to do this week to make that happen? And then the next week, what do I need to do this month to make that happen? Those weeks turn into months. Those months turn into quarters really fast. And you'll see if you're hitting your weekly, monthly goals, you'll probably be hitting your quarterly goals. You hit your quarterly goals, you're going to hit your annual goals.
We always talk about this with our doctors. If they say they want to, you know, whatever, I want to do 70,000 this month. When you first say it, you're like, ooh, okay, how do we get there? Mm-hmm. So they start chunking it back down. Like you said, great. That's about 15 grand a week. How do we, 18 grand a week. How do we start working towards that? That breaks down to 3,400 a shift. Chunking it back. Then it's like, okay, yeah, we can do that. That doesn't seem so bad. And then by the end of the week, end of the month, there's the 70K you were looking for. But I remember saying that to my staff on certain things. And they're like, how are we going to have that many new patients? How are we going to hit? But when I said it the other way, basing it on a weekly or monthly or daily goal, they're like, yeah, God, we easily do that. We do that all the time. That's a normal Monday. I'm like, yep, let's get after it.
Yep. Yeah, I think, I mean, to put it into real life terms, I mean, so there's an office that I own that, you know, we wanted to achieve some higher collections, higher patient volume. We wanted to make some moves with that. And so it's a long process. I mean, so it's 1 month it may have been, let's focus on hiring. Right? We need the team in place before we do anything. We're doing that at Inc. right now, the parent company for this. We're bringing on lots of talent to prepare for what's about to happen. That's important to do. Then part of it may have been, you know, well, for us, it was at the office. It was, let's find a new place that allows us to achieve that. The current place we are in didn't work. That's not a let's do that this week type thing. That's like in the next 6 months, let's find a place, let's build it out, let's move the current office, let's do all that. And so that just happened a month ago, right? And so, but that was in the works for months since January. If I look back at my journal, that's what we're looking at. Look for new locations, find a new location, sign a new lease, build out a location, you know, and now it looks absolutely beautiful. So we put the stars together. Right. We developed this amazing team led by fantastic docs and then a fantastic crew runs a front desk, put them in a brand new environment that allows them to achieve these goals. And then lo and behold, last month was the first month and they crushed through those goals.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't like you couldn't set that goal until you got the other things done. So those are my weekly, my monthly, my quarterly goals. That's what you got to start working on to get to those big ones. Don't just say, hey, I want to do better at this location. Well, what the hell does that mean? And how are you going to get there? Otherwise, a lot of times it doesn't happen.
Yeah, definitions are huge to put some clarity behind that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Chelsea, you got something to say?
Yeah, I was going to just say, like, I've definitely gotten better about setting goals over time. But I think some people struggle with how to, like, set really, I don't know, achievable goals or specific goals and things like that. So I always go back to, with each goal, I always go back to like the acronym SMART, so that it just helps you out. It just helps you know, make sure the goal is very specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and then give yourself like a time frame too. And again, stuff's going to change. Sometimes the time frame might change. It might be sooner, might be a little bit later because of different things that have come up. But if you don't have those specific like outlines of each, you know, details of each individual goal, it's harder to focus in on it, I think. Because when I used to set goals, I could set goals that were like right now, like this week and this month. And then I could set ones that were like really big picture, but kind of like the in-between ones were hard for me to do. So I think just breaking it down, like you guys were saying, if it's a money goal, go from the big picture and then break it down. But really you can do that with everything and should, so that you have those mini, mini wins along the way.
Well, I think you have to have those. I mean, I think that one thing I've learned as I've become more seasoned, if you will, and older.
Amen, older.
That's true. Time flies, man. I mean, so it's like setting a 10-year goal sometimes is so daunting because you're like, I don't even know what I'm going to be doing in 10 years. You may not know what you'll be doing, but I know you're going to want to achieve some of the things you want to achieve now. So you're going to want to have a kick-ass business. You're going to want to grow your business. you're probably going to want to be in shape. You're going to want to further and develop your relationships. I mean, there's certain things you can count on that you're going to want to do. And so you start with this 10-year goal and work backwards. So as you write your 2022s, and you got to start thinking about these in October, right? Or September, right? That's fine. And right now they're just thoughts. And then you write them to paper, and then you scratch shit out that you find out, you know, that's stupid. I was just in a weird mood. Here's really what I want, you know? So it's a work in progress. We've said this for probably 4 years in a row now on this podcast. Don't sit down on December 31st and say, here's my goals for next year. Cause you don't know, right? I mean, that's a moment in time of what you want to do. And so now for the next 4 months, you're going to come through all kinds. You're going to look at it in a bad mood. You're going to look at it in a good mood, and you're going to look at it in a motivated mood. And, you know, you're going to do it while you feel fat, and one day you're going to feel skinny. And there's all kinds of things that you can dial in to be like, here's really what I want to do. But it comes down from that big goal, whether it's like forever, like someday I want to achieve blank. Well, that means in 10 years, I got to achieve blank, which means in 5, this, and then this year, this quarter, this, and you start hammering it down that way. It starts to chunk it down where it's like, oh shit, that's not that big of a deal. I need to grow 4% this next, you know, next month, or 10% this next year. And then all of a sudden it's achievable. Or I need to lose 2 pounds a month. Not I want to lose 57 pounds. I just need to chunk this down into bite-sized pieces, like Chelsea said. But that starts right now, and small goals that you can actually measure are going to be a much better way of doing this than one huge goal.
So Rebecca and I had always practiced that principle, what you just said, where we started writing shit down in our journals and we had some ideas. And then we kind of realized we never really got to share that with each other. We couldn't really find time to write out stuff together. So what we started, and this is, I don't know, maybe a decade ago, we always take a weekend towards the end of the year, somewhere before Christmas time, after Thanksgiving, before Thanksgiving, whatever. And her and I will get away for the weekend. Grandma comes, watch the kids, whoever watching the kids. And we go to a resort, a hotel, whatever. And we lock ourselves in the room for the weekend. And we take snacks and wine. And we've made a whole tradition out of this now. And we sit down and we cry it out. We laugh it out. We argue it out. All the shit that we've been writing in our journals for this last quarter of the year. And then combine that together. So her and I are on this united front. I don't know if it's the right thing for everyone. For her and I, it's been very useful to sit down and be like, man, what are we doing in this next year as a family and our business and just everything together. But it was always tough for us to get on the same page. So we just said, fine, we're going to make a weekend of it. It's that important to us to make sure we know where the Living Good family is going in year 2022.
So. Well, and I think for you guys, it might be a little bit more like relevant to do like the same types of goals just because you guys are in the same industry. Sure. But even when you have like a partner or a spouse, I think it's important that that everybody's aware of each other's goals, and then like in different professions. And then also what are the goals together? And even with kids, like, I think it's cool to set different goals with kids, whether it's, you know, save up to go on a family trip or achieve something through sports or whatever it is. I think it's important to know what your kids are working towards too, if you have kids.
No, that's important. I mean, I think that's a good point, because Brandon and I happen to have our couples, you know, are both involved in the same business. I mean, Vanessa and I, for sure, right? I mean, it's always
the 100%. Only thing we talk about.
Right, exactly. Right. So Chelsea, you're completely different, right? So you have a husband getting ready to open a food truck business, and he's building that, and he's coming out of corporate America and kind of pursuing his dream of entrepreneurship and all that. So yeah, I mean, although you may not work it day to day, like, your blood, sweat, and tears is going to be in that you're part of that. That's a great example of like, that's a completely separate goal than say your career goal with 100%, right? I mean, that's completely different. So I think that's important to realize that a lot of couples, and sometimes I overlook that, are going two completely different ways in business. So I think that's a good point that you made.
But it's hard to like support your partner or spouse, or even like a sibling or a friend too, if you don't know what their goals are. And know how to hold them accountable. So I think it's, yeah, you definitely have to share it and be on the same page.
What do you guys do on a side note? This wasn't in the notes, so we're going off the cuff here, but what do you guys do if you don't agree on goals with spouse who's, you know, important and has to buy into it? How does that work if you say we're going this way and they say, nah, we're going this way?
I was just going to say that, like I said, we've cried it out, argued it out at times on these weekends, which I thought was important for us just to focus nothing on that. And nothing but that. and see why did Rebecca think we needed to do that, or why can't we achieve this? And so I think just for us, just to have the conversation or argument at times of that was helpful. Mm-hmm. And then between us, we figure out, okay, I guess this is where we're going. But without that weekend, I didn't even know that she wanted to do this, but I was thinking about this. And especially in what you said too, Chelsea, I think that is great with spouses that are in completely different professions or different directions, just to know, I think is powerful. So you're not, you know, worried about that stuff as the year goes on of like, what the hell is my spouse doing? That's not what we're thinking. When in fact, maybe it was, if you guys were able to sit down and talk through it.
Yeah,
that's what's worked for us. I think it is a little different. Like you said, Jason, we are on the same page most of the time because we do the same stuff, but there's still shit we don't agree with, or we argue, go the other direction or understand.
I think you have to explain to each other if your goals are, if you don't agree on them, and maybe it's my goal and not his, but you just have to explain the why behind it. And I think, I don't know, you have to either agree to disagree on certain things or kind of find a happy medium between the two, you know?
I think that's important. I mean, Vanessa and I have discussions all the time. We both wear many hats, as you guys know, but I mean, essentially it's the classic like CEO, CFO, you know, money versus vision and how fast we get, all kinds of stuff like that. And we both we want to go the same spot, but at the same time, there's some things we have to work through to make sure that it makes sense. And like sometimes when someone doesn't agree with you, you have to look at that as a huge benefit, because that benefit allows a different opinion. And out of those conversations come great compromises. So like, you know, one person may want to go nuts and do this, but it may not make sense financially. You know, so you have someone come in and be like, okay, have you thought about this? Here's what it costs. And then you modify. You can't look at it as someone not going with you. It's you guys coming together and formulating the best plan to get this done. But, you know, I feel sorry for couples who are on different pages. I don't know what you do. If someone wants to do this and someone's like, that's stupid as shit, we're not doing that. I don't want to open a business. I want to save money only. I don't really know how those people figure things out. I mean, I think that would be very tough. I'm blessed to not be in that kind of relationship where, you know, we're both entrepreneurs to the core, but we certainly have our disagreements on what our strategy should be, what our primary should be, things of that nature. And I think that, you know, we do a better job than most of working through that. And I think that people need to realize that different opinions isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing to help you dial in that goal at a high level. And if you're going to fight for it, then it makes you do the research and believe in it in such a level that you can defend that goal. And when you can defend that goal and you've researched that goal and you've studied that goal, then sometimes you're going to either change your mind or realize, no, this is not compromisable. This is exactly what we're doing. I have to do this. And then the couple has to decide, does that make sense?
I remember two silly ones last year. One was I wanted to get a dog. Rebecca's like, I love dogs. I like it. I'm not sure we're ready. We kind of had not an argument, but like maybe we ended up getting a dog, and it's been incredible for the family. It's been incredible to have the kids have responsibility for that. So maybe I kind of won that one that she didn't want right away. Mm-hmm. She also has planned out different trips for us. We're always like, we're going to do trips with the kids. And I'm like, yeah, we'll do them, whatever. But if we don't plan them out and map them out, then it didn't likely to happen. She's way better at making sure that's on the calendar. We said we're doing this. So she won more so on that one. They weren't arguments, but I thought those were important discussions when I look back on some of our stuff that we had set last year with our family. So I don't know. Yeah, we have disagreements on it. We figured out. That's what that weekend's for.
I think it's fun too to do like a little vision board sometimes. Some people are more visual. For me, it's cool, you know, in my closet, if I have something that I like look at, glance at, and I'm like, kind of like gets me excited for the day, even just to, you know, work towards that.
Or just reminds you of what you'd said you were going to do, or keeps you on track. Yeah. I like the visual.
Well, I mean, even looking back at, we said, look back at January's goals and things that you set. I on a regular basis, look back at journals from 10 years ago. And if nothing else, it shows, like, one, it reminds you how far you've come, right? And so that's really important. In our world, sometimes we have to remind patients how far they've come, because sometimes patients crawl into our offices and then they're feeling better, and then they're irritated that they're not running a marathon in record pace 3 years later. And sometimes you have to be like, well, let's look where you were like 3 years when you came in. I think goal-wise is important as well. Look back at your journal from, you know, 2015, from 2001. whenever you started it, it's amazing to see what your goals were. And you'll probably be real proud of yourself for realizing like, holy shit, man, I wasn't the journey I wanted necessarily, but look how far I've come. And that's impressive to
it was entertaining nonetheless. It's kind of, you chuckle at some of the stuff you're writing down or some of the things that were stressful at that time in your life or challenges now that you just laugh at it. I love reading back on old journals.
Yeah, I do as well. Well, let's turn the page going to next year. So do what you need to do in 2021, do what you need to do in quarter four to achieve those goals, but also the momentum you build in quarter four really launches you into 2022. So as you write these goals and figure out where you need to be, as you have your retreat, as you have your vision board, as you have those discussions with your significant other and or your kids and things like that about their goals, what are some steps you guys have found that just work really well to dial in your goals to ones that actually are meaningful in the year ahead?
For me, it's still back to that weekend. I have to have a time that I can just sit with whoever you're setting these with. To 100% focus on that. It can't be just a discussion over dinner or whatever. For us anyway, with our lifestyle and as busy as we are with the kids and family and work, it's super important for us to make sure we set that. Again, we've done it for a decade and I've told so many people about it and they have mimicked our example, but it seems to work for us to just really dedicate that weekend. But you have to do what you said, Jason, that you're thinking of thoughts ahead of time. It's not, we don't plan it all out on that weekend. It's shit that we've been thinking about for the last 3 months. So I know we've already mentioned it, but for us, that's a key point in setting our goals for the new year, is giving ourselves an uninterrupted, totally dedicated weekend away to do so.
I think coming up with like starting to think right now about your goals for next year, but then like not necessarily big picture goals, but just all of them, but not putting too many like details to them yet. And then do a check-in, you know, like maybe the beginning of December, because a lot of the goals you're going to set next year are going to be based off the ones you either achieve or don't achieve this year. So I think like setting your goals now kind of like broad and then rechecking in before the end of the year, because you check in with 2020, what you have accomplished, and then set your ones going forth based on that. So kind of like a goal session and then a goal detail session.
Yeah. I think too, one thing I always do when I write a goal down and then I whittle it down to one, I'm like, okay, that's a good goal. And this is just common sense, but ask yourself why. Why is that a goal? Like, what is that going to achieve? What does that help? Why is that important to me? Whether it's I want a Lamborghini, or I want to save 50,000, or I want to open a third business, or whatever you want to do, like why? So if you want to open that third office, that 15th office, whatever it is, why? What does that do for you? Right. And so, and chances are it's going to be like, well, it allows me to grow my empire. It allows me to add another, you know, 20% to my bottom line income per month, which allows me to get closer to this goal, which is, you know, buying this dream house or whatever it is. But when you can start to justify the why behind that, sometimes you realize like, you know what, I don't know why. I don't really know why I want to do that. And then you start to be like, that's not that important to me. If you don't know why you want to do something, it's probably just a goal that's a whim.
Yeah, sounded good.
Yeah, it's like, it's a cool thing, right? But if there's a real reason behind that, and there's dumb goals, right? I mean, so sometime, why do you want a Lambo? Well, it sounds fun as hell to drive. I've always wanted it. It was on my wall as a kid. It's just something I want to achieve. Great. Well, that's not going to change the world. It's just like, you know, it's a superficial goal. Yeah, just like a watch or a trip or different things like that, that also aren't necessarily going to change the world, but they're important to you at that time. Then there's longer term ones, though, that take some risk and different things like that. Opening business, closing, switching. I saw today on the morning news show that I was watching, 2/3 of people in the American workforce want to change their job currently, right now. They're switching based upon whether it's vaccine mandates or based upon how they're treated in the workplace or anything. They realize this is a great time to switch, you know, because there's a shortage most people have of workforce. And so they have the option to move. And a lot of people are opting to move. That's a major shake for a lot of people. And, you know, that may be their goal, is like find a new career that I feel valued, that I make more money, that I want to be where I'm at, you know? And so it's, goals come in so many shapes and sizes. I think everyone always has pretty much health and money, I feel like. But I mean, there's a bunch of goals, man. There's a bunch of relationship goals. There's a bunch of different business goals that you can do and such that are going to help you achieve those 10-year goals. So make sure you have those 10-year goals handy when you write those goals.
I was going to add another one. I know I kind of said my last piece there, but I was going to add in that tell someone what you're doing. You got to have some accountability partner in this, whether that's your spouse, your friend, your coworker, both you guys. I remember sitting at a dinner with you, Jason, in Vegas, Steve Wynn Steakhouse, with a group of guys. And we said, what are we going to accomplish here on this? And I remember saying what we said. I remember what you guys said, but to have that accountability to say it out loud in front of someone. Chelsea, you and I on some different sales things we've worked through, we've set goals to each other and we hold each other accountable to it. So just that fact, whether it's your spouse or not, telling someone and then having someone you can check in with as your year goes on has been huge. I guess I take it for granted because I have several of those people. I don't want you guys to forget that. Have someone that can hold you accountable.
I wrote that down, actually. That's an interesting question because I was going to ask you guys, what do you think of sharing it? Because, I mean, there's some goals you don't want to share. Right. And there's some goals that maybe you're a little nervous of and you don't want a lot of other people coming at you next November being like, eh, you didn't achieve that. So, I mean, what's the fine line? Like, when do you decide that you're going to share this and who do you decide you're going to share it with?
I think that depends on what type of goal it is. If it's financial or health or family, I'm certainly going to share certain things with Rebecca that I may not share with you guys,
right,
and vice versa. So I think you got to look at which goal it is, but as far as throwing it out there and being vulnerable, I think that's super important. I mm-hmm. like that, where I can be like, I don't know, that's what I said. If I didn't hit it, then I'm going to feel that pain and embarrassment and belittlement of that. But I also like the challenge of I told you guys I was going to do that. I better get it done. So
for that's me, that's kind of where I like to even just like putting it up on a poster board somewhere that I can't even just like hide it in my journal. Like I like put it up there. So it's like written out and anyone who might see it knows it's there. I'm not like a super public person with a lot of things anyway, so I don't think you have to like put it on social media, but I think talk to the people who you know will hold you accountable instead of the people that will be like, oh, that's a crazy goal. You know, tell the people that you want to, that you know will help you achieve that goal instead of keeping it safe and, you know, in the circle of people who doesn't care if you achieve it.
And then be willing for people to root against you, right? It's human nature. So, I mean, if you put something on social media, if you tell your spouse, of course, you're hoping they root for you. But I mean, if you put something out there, that's how people work. I mean, they're jealous as all get out. And so they may even smile and say, atta girl, atta guy, whatever, achieve it. But I promise you, a lot of those people are hoping you don't achieve that goal. And you need to find motivation in that. You need to find motivation in the fact that other people doubt what you can do. And so it's not only sometimes looking for accountability of people that are like your cheerleaders. Those are great. They feel good at sometimes, but I want to prove the people wrong that didn't think I could do this.
Hater.
So yes, I mean, those are fantastic. So, I mean, those people that you know are watching you, and we all have them, especially in the business world, there's people that follow exactly what I do because they can't wait for me to slip up. And so in return for that, I don't ever slip up and kick ass, right? And so they can follow every move that I make. And so for me, that motivates me. I don't have to tell them what my goals are. I'll just tell them as I achieve them one by one throughout the year. That to me inspires me. So pick what motivates you. Some, like you said, you know, relationship goals is probably between you and your spouse. No, it's no one's damn business what you guys want to do on that, right? Financial goals could be between you and your spouse. It could be between you and business partners and such. You know, that's important as well. Weight loss or physical health, you know, decide. I mean, if you want to share that with people and be held accountable, I think there's some value. But at the same time, if you just want to show people what you did, because your actions are going to speak way louder and it won't take long before you build that momentum and you know, get some steam rolling in the right direction. 2022, we're setting those goals. Take us through the next couple months. How many are you writing? How daily do you work on it? Weekly, monthly? When do you dial those in to be like, these are the goals? And how many of those goals should make it to like, these are my goals for 2022?
Mm-hmm. For me, a thing I've noticed, it helps if I categorize some stuff because I have a lot of thoughts go through my head. So I try to create some categories like a health, financial, family, business. I set some categories there so I can just clarify my mind. Mm-hmm. Where should this go? And then that helps me to figure out when do I focus on those. So if I'm at work and I'm looking through end of the year reports, things like that, I can focus more on the work goals or the financial goals. But if it's Rebecca and I having a glass of wine out by the patio tonight, we may be talking about family trips and things like that. So for me, those 3-4 categories seem to help organize my thoughts.
Chels?
I think just like, I don't know, there's some times where I feel super inspired to like to goal set or to like do more visionary thinking. And so I think just keeping a spot where you can easily revisit it when you have those moments, and then just fine tune them, you know, towards the end of the year and as you get closer to 2022.
Yeah, I've always kind of looked at it like, you know, I think it's kind of a simple analogy, but it's like the spokes on a wheel type thing. So I think you figure out what's important to you in life. And so, you know, what are the components that make you whole and happy? So let's say it's health. Let's say it's wealth. Let's say it's relationships. Let's say it's family. Let's say it's your faith. Let's say there's a, you know, there's six or seven things you'll probably be able to come up with.
Golf.
Golf may be one of them. It is. That is my religion. But so then you kind of picture this as spokes on a wheel, and then you kind of take it out like, you know, a full line would be a 10, right? So if it went all the way out from the hub of the wheel all the way out, that's a 10, means you're perfect on that, right? There's, you couldn't get any better. It's like my golf game. You could not get better than that 10. So
liar.
And so then let's say though on, you know, on wealth, let's say, you know what, that's a 3, man, I'm nowhere close to where I wanted to be, right? Then you start to get this picture. It kind of looks like a sun without equal rays. And so then you start to say, okay, you know what, I need to focus a lot on wealth, or I need to focus a lot on relationships or faith or whatever you come up against. And so then you can start to dial in some goals specifically for that. Faith is a good one. Like, that's an easy goal to achieve. Right? It's, here's what I'm going to start doing every Sunday, or here's what I'm going to start doing every night, or whatever, you know, pertains to what faith is to you. But I mean, there's certain goals you can just do that are going to lead to you getting that spoke out to where it needs to be. But like you said, Chelsea, being a visual person is nice. If you're a visual person, this is another way to look at it and say like, oh shit, I am weak on health, right? What happened? I'm rich as can be. I'm happy as can be. I'm more in love than I ever have. And oh my God, like my health has gone to shit.
I'm chilling.
Right. So maybe that's one you have to start working on. But I think that's a good way to kind of lay it out visually to see where your weaknesses are and then dial in your goals specific to where you want to get that as, you know, a whole life, a whole picture of a person, as opposed to just being really strong in certain
areas. The Wheel of Life by Jason Helfrich.
Oh, I like that. Could be my third book. I already have the other ones named. Okay. I just got to write them.
Okay.
And that's not even. That's probably not going to happen. No. I make an audio before I have a book.
I was going to say maybe you should add a spoke for a book for your first and second book.
Don't make me do that. I don't want to write a book.
Don't make me write.
Okay. What closing thoughts? What do people need to take home out of this?
I'm starting today. This is why we did this podcast at the middle here of September, because this is going to fly by this last quarter. And all of a sudden, like you said, you'll be at December 31st trying to be like, that's my goals for the year next year. So get the headspace working now. Start the dialogue, start the categories, draw your wheel of life, whatever. Start getting things rolling. So by the time the new year does start, you know which way you're headed for 2022.
Chelsea.
I'm excited to look over what my goals were for this year and just kind of reevaluate and get started on next year. So yeah, get started sooner than later. And then you can always fine tune them and add more details to them.
Yeah. I have a bunch of take home points, so I'm trying to dial it into the best one, I guess. But, you know, I think that it's important to chunk those down into small goals. I think that allows you to achieve those. I think that's what's super important. I think asking yourself why is also essential. You've got to know why you want to achieve these things for them even to matter and be valid. I guess the last thing is, and this ends on a good business note for a business podcast, but I don't think we've ever seen the world like it is right now. It's changing daily, weekly, monthly. There's so much wealth out there that's being spread out. And we've gone over this and I have said it 50 different times, right? So you may or may not be sick of even hearing it, but I mean, there's a lot of shit right now that's being purchased, bought, invested in. There's a lot of money. So whatever your business is, whatever your idea is, if you really believe in it, this is the time. Like, because there's people that will support that. More people are going to go out of business here in the next several years, but more people are going to absolutely destroy all their goals and be incredibly, incredibly wealthy and achieve the business life of their dream. So, you know, I think that it's different than it has been in the past, even 10 years ago, you know, that there was the typical hustle and things were going a little more normal. Right now, there's a massive opportunity for you to do things that maybe were a little tougher to do not that long ago. So whatever your idea is, write that shit down, figure out a game plan, write a playbook on how to make that actually be realistic, and then go get it. And because you'll never regret trying it. Even if you don't succeed, you'll never regret trying to achieve your dreams. So don't sell out on them. Don't puss out. Don't think that you're going to be the safe way only. That this is a goal about entrepreneurs being entrepreneurs. So go out and be an entrepreneur and achieve those goals. That would be my take home point. So good call. We'll check in maybe monthly on this for the next quarter or so and see what quarter four brings us. But as usual, good times, good time spending with you, spent with you.
I don't know.
Say that.
Spent.
That was a tough, easy time for me spent. To say.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Share this podcast with people that need to hear it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.